Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you. But before I get started, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather as your church, your sons and daughters, your body. We're so grateful that we were able to come together. I pray that you would bless the words that I say and that your spirit would speak through me to the hearts of every person that's here. We love you and we need you more. Amen. All right, so like it's already been said, my name is Adam Keller. I am a junior at Olivet, and I come representing the Preaching Ambassador Program, and I'm very, very excited to be here with you. If you have your Bibles with you, before I get started, I'm going to be preaching out of Luke 12, 35 through 40. Before I get to that passage, a little story I want to tell you. The high school that I went to was really, really small. And when I say really, really small, I mean less than 100. And when I say less than 100, I mean less than 50. My graduating class was 10 people. It was super, super small, and because of that, we were able to raise money, and as a last hurrah for ourselves, we were able to go on a senior trip. I was very, very fortunate to be able to do that, and as we raised the money and we got to be able to do that, we went to Colorado. We went to Denver, Colorado. We stayed in a cabin outside of the city. And it was so, so much fun. But before we had that experience, we had to pack. And I get extremely anxious and nervous when I'm packing for trips, regardless of how long it is. Like, I could just be going overnight somewhere, and I still get really nervous. And the reason is because I'm always scared I'm going to forget something. When I was 15, I went on a trip, and I thought I had gotten everything. I was like, I'm good, I'm excited to go, and when I got there, I realized I forgot something very, very important, my belt. And ever since then, that was like not a big deal, but ever since then, I'm terrified that I'm gonna leave something. So before we went on this trip, my senior year, I made a checklist, and I had everything laid out on my bed. I was like, okay, there's my belt, don't wanna forget that. I have my toiletries, everything's in there, and I was crossing things off my list, and by the time I was done, it was about midnight. And I had to be up at 6 o'clock the next morning because we were leaving at 7. And I was terrified. I was like, well, I know that I have everything, but what if I don't wake up in the morning and they leave without me? Then these 4 years that have been spent saving up for this trip and this amazing opportunity that I'm about to have, what if they leave without me? And I was terrified. I was just like, I can't do this. So I set 12 alarms. I was like, okay, I'll do 6 o'clock, 6:01, 6:02, and then I'll keep doing it until it's time to leave. But I was like, I don't know. I still might not wake up. So I was like, I have to take drastic measures. So I took the outfit that I was going to be wearing the next day, and I put it on. I took my pillow and my blanket, and I put it beside my bed on the floor. And I slept on the floor, because then, if I'm super uncomfortable, it'll be easy to wake up. And I woke up and it was fine and everything, there was nothing to worry about. But I slept with my clothes on because I wanted to make sure that I was ready. Now that story is fantastic and all, but we'll get back to that in just a second. So now I'm going to read from Luke 12, 35 through 40. It says this: "Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for these servants whose master finds them waiting when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve you. He will dress himself to serve. With them he will recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect." So today I want to look at this passage in two parts. And when we look at the first part of this passage, I want us to imagine that we are the servants in the master's house. Now, we all know that God works in miraculous and wonderful ways. I mean, if you read the scriptures, you can see all the wonderful things that God has done. He split the Red Sea in half so the Israelites could walk through. He sent fire down at night and a cloud by day so the Israelites would know who to follow. Jesus did so many amazing miracles. But It's hard to see those things and then look at today and say, I don't see any oceans parting, you know? And when I was a little kid, I would read all those stories and hear them in children's church and be like, I love how there's always like these little plot twists. Just like, and everything was stacked against the Israelites, and they were in front of an ocean, and behind them was the Egyptians, and I was like, oh no, they're going to be taken back to Egypt, but then God stepped in, and he split the Red Sea, and they were able to walk through. It was all these wonderful moments that God was orchestrating. And we look around, and think, well, what is God doing now? But we know that God is still working. God is still working in our lives in individual ways. It may not be, you know, mountain-moving occurrences, but it may be for you. It may be for us. He's still working in wonderful ways, and he's working for his glory. Now, the thing about those stories in the Bible with those large-scale miracles, that happened because those people who performed those miracles with God's help were in communion with God. They were ready to be used by God. They were there, they were asking God, use me, I'm ready, I'm yours. And he did. He answered them, and he used them. And I think that's what God wants us to do as well. He's calling us to be ready, to be in communion with him. That way, when he's got something for us, we're ready. We're there. And then he can work through us. And for some people, that's terrifying. That God is going to use them. That God, the one who split the Red Sea, who did all these amazing things, who raised people from the dead, he wants to use me. He wants to use you, and that's scary to some people. You know, like that's a big God, and that's a big and tall request. But I think, I mean, if we look at this passage and we look at the rest of Scripture, we can see that God isn't asking us to be ready. He's asking us to be there and be willing. And know that he's bigger than the things that we're facing and that he's the one who can work through us. God hasn't called us to be equipped. He's going to call us and then be there for us and be with us. Now, when I was younger, my dad, who is also a pastor, the thing that he would always tack on to everything, you know, sometimes in sermons and then a lot of times just to myself and my siblings was, your want to isn't required. You know, has anybody ever said that, you know, that you know? It's just like, you don't have to want to, you just have to obey, you know. And I think that that's what God's calling us to do, you know. He's called us to be his disciples. He's called us to be messengers of the gospel. And our want to isn't required. And the other thing is, God is so big and powerful that he's not going to wait for us to be ready to work. You know, God is living and active and moving, and he's not waiting for us to be the ones to do it. However, he does want us to be his hands and feet. He does want to use us. I believe that God's favorite instrument of work is his people, is us, the people of the church. And when you look at the Bible, another fantastic story is of King Josiah, the king of Judah. He was a child. He was something like 8 years old, or somewhere in his early teenage years. He wasn't ready. By no means was he ready to be the king of a nation. But he was willing, and he was ready by God, and he trusted God to help him. And because of that, God did fantastic and incredible things through him. In junior high, I had a friend, and his name was Isaac. And I was having a conversation with him one day. I don't even remember why, but he told me that he was telling me, you know, parts about his life, and he was telling me, you know, I've had a really, really rough life, but, you know, God's been there with us, you know. His parents had gone through a horrible divorce. His dad had cheated on his mother with another woman, but his mom was this incredible woman. She's just like, Isaac, listen, it's hard, and I don't know why this is happening, but God is going to do something through us. God's still with us. And Isaac recognized that, and he told me, I can't wait until I'm older to be able to share my testimony. And even as a little kid, I remember thinking, like, that's so weird. Why wait? You know, God is doing these incredible things in your life through these terrible occurrences, but why would you wait to tell the amazing things that he's done? It's because he didn't think he was ready. He didn't think that his story was complete enough to tell people. but his story was incredible and God was doing amazing things. And there's a gentleman who goes to my church who went to college to be a minister. He was going there to eventually go on to seminary to be a pastor, and he ended up switching his major or dropping out halfway through because he thought he wasn't ready. He didn't think that he was equipped enough to be a minister. He had a call in his life and God was calling him to do that, but he didn't think he was ready. So he changed and he became a carpenter. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He was a very, very good carpenter. He did that to the glory of God, but he was called to be a minister. But he didn't do it because he didn't think he was ready. God has called us to something. Each of us has called us to something. And he's called us to do it at a specific time. He's given us all unique gifts. He's equipped you. He's equipped you. He's equipped you. And he's equipped me with different things. In Scripture, it says that we are the body of Christ, and we are all the individual parts. And the hand shouldn't wish it was a foot, and the eye shouldn't wish it was an ear, because he's called us and he's equipped us to do wonderful things for his glory. In the same way, back in the passage, the servants were equipped. They were ready. They were prepared to do the things that the master had called them to do. But if those servants didn't think that they were ready, if they didn't think that they were ready to do their job, then the master would have come home, knocked on the door, and no one would have been there to greet him, because the servants would have been running around trying to polish the silverware a little bit more or trying to make sure that the food was the perfect temperature and all of these things. But all the master wanted was a place to come and sit down, rest, and maybe have something to eat because he was tired. If the servants had let fear and doubt cloud their mind, they would never have been there to do what the master was wanting them to do. They would never have been there to do something that made the whole thing work together. They would have been so worried about doing it perfectly that they would have completely missed the point. Now, I think this is it. We need to remember what God we serve and understand who gives us our identity. It's God. It's not ourselves. And with the calling that God has put on each of our lives, if we are the ones who establish our own identity, then we'll never be ready. In our own minds, we will never be ready or equipped enough to do the things that he's calling us to do. He's called us to be the light of the world. He's called us to share the gospel. And if it was up to us, we'd never be ready to do that. We'd always need that little bit more of training. We'd always need that little bit more preparation. But he's not called us to do that. He's called us to obey. He's called us to trust him. He's called us to have faith that he is the God who will do what he has said he will do. We can't let fear and doubt cloud our minds from doing what we've been called to do. We are the children of God as Christians, and we are the children of a good father, and he has promised to do what he said he will, and he will do it, and he'll help us. I always love hearing the testimonies of people who said, I've been through this in my life, and I've been through this in my life, and it was awful, and it sucked, but God was there with me, and he brought me through it. And I love hearing those things because it's just amazing what God has done through people. And it's amazing what God has done for people. But I often think, what if they were just too fearful or doubted that God would help them? Like, how would that have looked differently, you know? Those people, they trusted God, and they put their faith in him, and he followed through. And even in the day-to-day, they trust him. Another thing that my dad has said multiple times in our church is these things that he says that we have, which are these little missional impulses that the Holy Spirit gives us, which could be anything from, you know, I'm calling you to go across the ocean to spread the gospel to people, but it could also be as small as there's a person that you work with and they don't know Christ. Go be Jesus to them, you know. God is calling us to do something through our lives as Christians, but he's also calling us to do something in the day-to-day. He's calling us to do little things, the little things of moments to be like Jesus. Jesus was on this earth for something like 33 years. And his ministry that we read in the gospel was something like 3 of those years. And the majority of that time that he spent on earth in his ministry was one-on-one with people. Yes, there were those times that he was talking to the 5,000 and feeding the 5,000 and doing these amazing things that are just incredible. But a lot of the time he spent them one-on-one with people, being Christ and being the gospel that he had come to proclaim to the people around him and doing incredible things. And as we read earlier in the gospel, he did that because he was in communion with God. He spent that time asking God, what's it going to do? What am I going to do now? You know? And then he was able, partly because, you know, he was God himself, but he was in communion with God and he was able to do those things that God was calling him to do. And we're not alone in that. It's not just, I am called to these things, or you are called to these things, but we're the entire church have been called to do these things. We're not alone. That's what this is, the communion of believers, the people who have all been called to preach the gospel and to be the church. And once we get a grasp of that fact, that we are not alone and God has a hold of us, then we can get back to what God has called us to do. And we can do it with confidence that God is there with us. The servants were called to be ready, and in the same way, we are called to be ready. That way, when the Master, Lord, comes and is wanting to do something through us, we're ready. Just say, you know, God, I'm ready to work as Christians. And just like I slept with my clothes on, that way I would get up on time to go, we have to be dressed and ready for action to when God says, I have this for you. We're ready to go and get to work for God's kingdom. We must be ready because that is what we have been called to do. It is part of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. You know, if you have time, could you preach the gospel? No. It is the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples, preaching the gospel. Go be Jesus. And it's not selective either. Just because some people have been called to be ministers in a full-time ministry position doesn't mean that they're the only ones who have been called to preach the gospel. You know, the ministers are, you know, the leaders of leaders. They're the minister to the ministers. We've all been called by the Great Commission and by God to preach the gospel. And we all have to be ready. The church just isn't the four walls, it's us. The church is the people. The building is where we get to come and praise God. But we are the church. And the church is the dwelling place of the Spirit today. As Christians, we are where the Spirit resides. In the Old Testament, it was inside of the tabernacle, inside of the temple. There was a physical place where the Spirit of God was. But that's not the case anymore. When Christ died on the cross, the curtain split, signifying that the Spirit was with his people. That when sin was defeated, now the Spirit resides in each of us. So when we go out into the world, we're taking the Spirit with us. And we're ready to do the things that God has called us to do. But we have to be there for it. We have to be ready. And I want to go back to this passage for a little bit. God has called us all, but he's also called us to individual vocations, to where wherever we are. So for some of us, that may be to be the pastor of a church. For other people, it may be to be a teacher. For some people, it may be to work in finance. Whatever it is, where God has called you, you need to be there and be Christ there. That's what it is. We're not just Sunday morning Christians where we come to church on Sunday and we sing praises to God, but no, we bring the church out with us and we're Jesus to the people around us everywhere we go. We don't know what God has written in the rest of our story. I would really like to know what God has for me, but I don't. But I have to be ready for it. We need to be ready for whatever it is. And whenever that time comes for what God has called us to do, we can't sit and just think, oh man, I just don't think I'm ready today. You know, God, I know you're telling me to do that. I know there's that person who I work with who's really having a rough time. But I don't know if I'm equipped enough to be Jesus to that person. No. I look back on my life, however short it may be, and think of all the times that I knew God was calling me to do something, but I didn't do it because I didn't think I was ready. And that really came to the forefront of my mind when I was in Tanzania in Africa, the summer after my freshman year. I was there with one of the professors I have at Olivet, and we were having a conversation one night over dinner, and this topic came up of being ready to do what Christ has called us to do. And he said something that kind of shook me to my core. It's like, and what he said was, I never want to think about who God is using to do the things that he called me to do that I didn't do because I didn't think I was ready. And as I was thinking about that, God brought back to my mind those people that he had called me in the moment to be Jesus to. But I didn't because I didn't think I was ready, because I didn't want to, whatever it was. And that stayed with me since, that I always want to be prepared to do the things that God is calling me to do, because I don't want God to have to find someone else to do it, because he called me to do it, because he's equipped me and he's placed me with a purpose for the people around me. And that goes for all of us. However old or young you may be, God has a purpose and a calling, and he's equipped you for your life to be his hands and feet wherever you are. God is still going to move, but he intended it for you, and he called you to do it. And we think, no, I would have been there. I would have done it if I would have known that that's what God was going to do, or that's what God was calling me to do. But then we look back at the passage. The servants had to be ready, and that's how we are. We have to be ready to be used by God and trust God that he is going to work through us. And then we have to just strive for excellence for Christ, not perfection, because anyone who's lived just a little bit of life will tell you that they're not perfect. And if they say otherwise, then they're wrong, because we know that we're not perfect. We're sinful, we're broken, but because of Christ, we can strive for excellence for him, doing everything we do for the glory of God, not wanting to do everything perfectly, but doing what he's called us to do, and doing it with excellence. There are many examples and people in the Bible who were ready. And with all of those people, I don't think that they knew what God was going to call them to do. I don't think if you look at Noah when he was a young boy that he thought, you know what I think God's going to call me to do? I think he's going to call me to make an ark because he's going to flood the entire world so I can save the animals, so I can continue to be a man after God's own heart. I don't think that Abraham knew that God was going to call him to a land that he would show him, that way he would be a father of many nations. I don't think Moses, when he was a small boy, thought, I am going to lead an entire nation out of another nation which it is in captivity from, and lead them to a new place. I don't think Josiah, when he was 8 years old, thought that he was going to be the king of a nation. And I really don't think that Mary, as a young girl, thought, I am going to give birth to a Messiah. And I don't think that the disciples thought that their friend, their teacher, and their master was going to die on a cross to save them from their sin, to save them from death. But all of those people, when you look at them, they were ready, and they had faith, and they trusted God. And because of that, God did amazing things through them. When we have faith and trust that God is going to do what he has promised to do, God will use us to do amazing things for his glory. When we are working as God's instruments, it is the most beautiful form of worship. Praising God and worshiping him for who he is by doing what he has called us to do. So my question for you as I end preaching is, are you going to be ready? When God calls you to do something in the day-to-day, are you going to be ready and trust Him and have your faith in God to know that He is going to work through you? Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your scripture and how we're able to learn so much about who You are and what You've called us to do. I pray that You'll be with us through the rest of our day and that You will make Your presence known so, so much in our lives. That when You call us to something, that You will make Your impulse, Your calling on us so, so clear that we're able to just hear it and get to work, trusting and putting our faith in You that You're going to do what You've called us to do and what You've promised. We love You and we need You more. Amen.